Jana Tiranasya Ganandana Sakaya Chaksaro Deritam Dena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Nama Vishnu Tadaya Krishna Tadaya Bhutale Sivate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namene Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vacharine Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Pachatya Dasatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadhara Siddha Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vinda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadhara Siddha Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Jaita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Gaura Nityananda Jaya Goranitai Goranitai Jaya Goranitai. Jaya Rukmini Dwarkadish, Rukmini Dwarkadish, Rukmini Dwarkanath, Rukmini Dwarkanath. Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath. Jai Lala Deva, Jai Silvada. Jai Lala Tada, Jai Lala Tada, Jai Lala Jaya Jai Lala. Nittai Gora Hadidol, 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 Hadidol. Mahakaroti Lachalo, Pangulangai Tegim. Yatki thought of the hung one day, Sigurun in Hainam, Parman and Manu, Si Chaitanya Sram, Hayom Tatsat.
So this is the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, text number 18. The title of the chapter is called The Yoga of the Supreme Person. So I will read from chapter 18. Yasmat saram atito aham aksharar apichotama ato asmi loke vedacha pratita purushotama. Translation. Because I am transcendental beyond both the fallible and the infallible, and because I am the greatest, I'm celebrated both in the world and in the Vedas as that Supreme Person. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Purport: no one can surpass the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Neither the conditioned souls nor the liberated soul. He is therefore the greatest of personalities. Now, it is clear here that the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are individuals. The difference is that the living entities, either in the conditioned state or in the liberated state, cannot surpass in quantity the inconceivable potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is incorrect to think of the Supreme Lord and the living entities as being on the same level or equal in all respects. There is always the question of superiority and inferiority between their personalities. The word Uttama is very significant. No one can surpass the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Loke signifies in the Purusha Agama, the Smriti scriptures, as confirmed in the Nirukti dictionary, Lokyate Vedarto Anena, the purpose of the Vedas is explained by the Smriti scriptures. The Supreme Lord, in his localized aspect of Paramatma, is also described in the Vedas themselves. The following verse appears in the Veda Chandogya Upanishad, Tavar esa samprasado Asma chari rasan mutaya param yoti rupam sampadya suena rupena vinipadyate sautama purusha. The super soul coming out of the body enters the impersonal Brahmayoti, then in his form, he remains in his spiritual identity. That supreme is called the Supreme Personality. This means that the Supreme Personality is exhibiting and diffusing his spiritual effulgence, which is the ultimate illumination. That Supreme Personality also has a localized aspect as Paramatma. By incarnating himself as the son of Satyavati and Parasara, he explains the very knowledge as Vyasadev. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shall I read again? So the translation of the verse again is, because I am transcendental, beyond both the fallible and the infallible, and because I am the greatest, I am celebrated both in the world and in the Vedas as that Supreme Person.
Hayom Tat Sat. Thank you, Sachi Tadai, for reading the verse. This chapter is also known as the Yoga of the Purushottama Yoga, the Yoga of the Supreme Person. Purushottama means the Supreme Person. And this month that we're in now is known as the Purushottama month. It's a very special month that comes by once in three years. You can achieve everything in this month that you could get directly from Krishna simply by doing some devotional service in this month. I think I was introduced by Suhas, who the gentleman president, but I had a stroke about a year ago, and so half of my face is paralyzed. So it's I will try to speak very carefully so you'll understand, but you need to give it a little bit of attention, and I'll try my best. You see, there's two calendars. There's a lunar calendar, followed by the Vedas, and there's the solar calendar. So, the lunar calendar is 355 days long, where the solar calendar, as you know, is 365. In the solar calendar, 172 years, there's a one-day a leap day. That leap year means one day. In the lunar calendar, there's a leap month, because 355 days is 10 days less. So after 3 years, 10, 10, 10, at 30, there's a month of 30 days inserted, which brings things back in line with the solar calendar. So right now we're in that month, that the leap month. So this leap month was adopted by Lord Krishna as the Purushottam month. And he said anyone who attends this month, well, they have to face a lot of misfortune. And everyone that worships and respects this month and takes advantage by chanting extra Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare mantra, offering lamps to the deities, giving a charity to the deities, to the Ramanas. Let's see, what else? Bathing in holy rivers. It's difficult here. I don't think that in California there's any holy rivers. But we can take a bath in the Ganges by chanting Lali Sita is Ganga. So let's all take a virtual bath. Ganga! 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 So you all take a bath in the Ganges today, during the month of the first shortan. I've been noticing recently a lot of people when they take a shower, they chant Ganga in their shower. So this is a given the Padma Purana. Now, in this verse that we read, that the Sachi joined up to us, this verse tells us that what Krishna says, I am celebrated as the Supreme Person because I have all the affluences. And he says that he is celebrated as the Supreme Person because he's above all the conditioned souls and liberated the fallible and infallible. We are all fallible souls. We are conditioned souls here in the material world. Those who are liberated, who go to the spiritual world, they are infallible because they know the past, present, and future. We are subject to the illusion. We have imperfect senses. We have a tendency to cheat. There recently, I mean, a few years ago, there was some scientist that was exposed that in order to get millions of dollars of grants, he fudged on his experiment. And he was given all kinds of prizes and grants. Later on, somebody from France tried to duplicate it and came up with different results. So he was exposed that he was actually cheating. So it took a few years. He had already, but then he was stripped of all his prizes. So this tendency to cheat is there. And you have to watch out. Everything you read in the newspaper, it may not always be true. There's a story told by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is worshipped on the far left altar, very small deity to the right. He said, Das Chakri Bhagavan wrote that 10 people made a conspiracy and turned Bhagavan into a ghost. You've probably heard that already, right? Dan, you haven't heard? Keith, you heard? Anyone else heard, huh? Did you hear? Who didn't hear? Oh, so many. So, you see, there was this king. His name was Narasimha Maharaj. And he had an advisor was his friend who was called Bhagavan Das. So he was a very honest brahmana. So he would always tell the king the truth about every circumstance. So one day all the ministers got together. As long as this guy Bhagavan Das is there, we can't pull one over on the king. And we're not going to make any money unless we can cheat the king. So what to do? So they came up with a plan. Next day, Bhagavan Das, he came to the palace. But the guard stopped and you can't go in. Why not? I'm the friend of the king. I'm sorry, we got order from the minister. You cannot go in. I can't go in. He tried all the gates. All the guards were told the same thing. Bhagavan is not to enter. So the king, he said, where's my friend Bhagavan? sir, he had a sudden heart failure, you know. He was very healthy. No, no, what? This does happen. He had a sudden heart failure and he did. He called his royal physician and his Ayurvedic doctor. Will you go and check out what happened to Bhagavan Das? Yes, sir. Yes, my lord. Your Majesty. So the minister is calling over. Listen, you tell the king, Bhagavan is dead. If you tell him, we give you 1,000 each gold coins. If you don't tell him, we'll kill you. Well, a good deal, right? I mean, didn't have too much choice. So, okay, we'll take 1,000 gold coins. So, Your Majesty, we're very sorry to tell you that Bhagavan Das is dead. Oh, sent 2,000 gold coins to his widow. Yes, Your Majesty, we'll be sure he gets it. for the minister. Okay, so and Bhagavan was thinking, how can I get to the king? This is all by the conspiracy of the ministers. So he knew that once a day, one day a year, the king would go out and visit all the population in the city. So that day he tried to get to see the king, but the minister knew that he would try to come and see the king. So they had guards all set up. So he tried to go and see the king, but the guards kept him away. So then he climbed a tree along the king's path, and he said, Maharaj! Maharaj! It's me, Bhagavan! It's me, Bhagavan! Hello! Maharaj! And the minister looked at him, what to do, what to do? One voice, shut, minister, he said, Maharaj, there's the ghost of Bhagavan Das. Be careful. The ghost. And all the ministers echoed, yeah, oh, the ghost, the ghost, the ghost, Bhagavan's ghost. And the king, oh, is there a ghost in the other way, Maharaj? Okay, okay. So he turned around and went another way. So the conspiracy of 10 turned Bhagavan into a ghost. Like this. Some scientists, they get together. It takes millions of dollars to do those experiments. If they say, well, we found the this and that and the other thing. So who's going to check on it? It takes years to check. In the meantime, everyone glorifies, oh, the great scientist, Nobel Prize, this prize, that prize, big grants. They hope they don't get discovered. Sooner or later, they get found out. Then they, oh, what to do? They are disgraced publicly, they're stripped, but they've already packed away a lot of money. So, we have to be very careful what we listen to. We listen, therefore, to the Shastra. The Shastra are not subject to any kind of cheating propensity. So there, in the Shastra, who is the Supreme Lord? I was in the hospital after my stroke, and I was in this Bhaktivedanta hospital. Now, they have a spiritual care department. So, one of the spiritual care reps, there's about six, they go to the different wards. And so one went to the ICU, the intensive care unit, and he saw one man from Delhi. And he had all kinds of magazines from different spiritual organizations. So that spiritual care rep said, oh, sir, so you're interested in spiritual life. I see you have all kinds of magazines from various spiritual organizations. He said, yes, but I have one doubt. who is really the Supreme Lord? Who is the Supreme Lord? This every organization says that their founder is God. So I wanted to know, who is really God? Who is really the Supreme Lord? So that lady said, you know, we had the same doubt. But we read in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is the Supreme. He said, really? Yes, Bhagavad Gita, it says right here. And we read just one of the many verses in the Bhagavad Gita that say that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. So he is known as Purushottama. He is the Supreme Personality. So he said, wow, this is what I always wanted to know. Who is the Supreme Lord? And it's right here in the Bhagavad Gita. So I have all our guests tonight. Have you read the Bhagavad Gita? If you haven't, please get your copy. I think outside they don't have it available. You get a copy of Bhagavad Gita. There all is, it's considered the cream of the Vedas. The sar, the cream, I guess that's the last thing. So, the essence are there. That you can get all the essence of the Vedas in the Bhagavad Gita. So there it says that Krishna is the Supreme. So after that verse, he was convinced that actually Krishna is the Supreme. So he began to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, like some people come to us and they sing, they ask, do you worship the same God as the Christians or the Jews? And there's only one God. There's only one Supreme Lord. He is known in Sanskrit as Krishna. In the Bible as Jehovah or Adonai, and in the Quran as Allah. So he has different names, but we call him as Krishna. What we're referring to is the one Supreme Lord. Then many, many names, but there's only one Lord. And everyone is worshiping the same Supreme Lord. So we have our way of worshiping. They have their different ways, but the system of worship may differ a little bit. We call it 1920. Maybe a slight change, but the concept that there's one Supreme Lord, that's the same. Now, we studied all the different religions, and we found in every religion, it says that if you chant the name of God, the name will drive away the sins of Kali, and the names are beautiful, and the names are holy. So they all say to chant the names. So we recommend, we chant the name as a mantra. It says, Iti Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Iti Sauta Sikhavna Nam Kali Kama Sanasanam Nata Prata Upaya Sada Vede Sudhisthate in the Kali Asantana Upanishad. It states that there's this mantra of 16 words about Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It destroys all the pollution, all the degradation, all the ill things of Kali. Kali Kalmasha Nashanam. There's no better method available in by searching all of the Vedas, all of the holy scriptures. Chanting the holy name is the best way. So, therefore, because, you know, this is the verse in the Vedas, but if you like to chant the names in Sanskrit, or if you like to chant the names in Latin or Hebrew or Arabic or whatever language you like, but the idea is to chant the names of God. And if you chant the names, you'll get directly in contact with the Lord. So that's why you see the devotees, they have these little vags around their neck. Those vags contain like rosary or tasbih, that they contain what do you call it, jala. Here, Satchidananda is demonstrating his jala. This has 108 of these. The rosary has 54, which is exactly half. Other religions have other ways of counting, but so he used 108, which is considered a number representative of the Supreme Lord. So there we chant, and we use the sense of touch. The idea is to use your senses in the meditation. So you can chant together with the group, and there you can use the drums and the harmonium and the cymbals and your hands clapping. So use your sense of touch, your hearing, your speaking, also the healing of a very nice ground. These are, by the way, these are not plastic. These are real flowers. And you can use your sense of smell. They really smell good. Later, if you want to smell it, I'll let you smell. Or if you have incense, so you can use our sense of smell. We use our eyes to see these beautiful pictures, the beautifully decorated deities. So, let's see. Nose, the ears, we hear the chanting, we speak the chanting, we see the deities. What to use the tongue? Well, tongue has two functions. One is to sing or chant. So with that we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Is there something else the tongue is used for? Eating. Oh, I knew there was something else. So tonight, please use your tongue for eating the feast. When I end my class, there'll be a feast served across the road. You can follow the devotees if you're here for the first time. And they'll take you to the Prasadam Hall. And there you can use your tongue to taste the holy food of Prasadam. So the idea is to use our senses in the meditations. So the practice of Bhakti Yoga is one where we use all of our senses. We have here Rigalpati. Rigalpati, he is traveling, I think. He is one of our foremost book distributors. Now, he uses his senses to present the books to the people in a very humble and straightforward way. And he is quite successful. Any special thing you'd like to tell us, any message for the people on this holy Purushottam month?
Well, the first time I had an opportunity to ask Prabhupada a question was during a Bhagavad Gita class, and he came to the Brooklyn Temple in New York in about November, December 1973. So Prabhupada finished the class, and he asked for questions, and two or three devotees asked questions, and Prabhupada said, "Are there any more questions?" And nobody raised their hand. And I was a bhakta still at the time, and Prabhupada asked again, "Are there any more questions?" And still nobody raised their hand. And I was feeling uncomfortable. I was thinking, well, it's obvious that Prabhupada wants somebody to, you know, he wants to keep speaking, so he's hoping for a question. So then Prabhupada asked again, "Are there any more questions?" So I didn't really have a question, but I felt, come on, you know, don't you guys get the idea? You know, Prabhupada wants to keep speaking. Somebody asked.
So why did you ask?
I asked. I raised my hand. I said, "Prabhupada, could you say something about the mercy of Lord Chaitanya?" And then, but Prabhupada, he leaned over to Shruti Kirti, his secretary, and he asked, "What did he say? I guess I didn't speak loudly and clearly enough." So Shruti Kirti turned to him, and I don't know what he said, and because I couldn't hear it from where I was sitting, and I asked Shruti Kirti, and he can't remember, but he repeated something to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada sat up very straight in his seat, and he said, "Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan." He said, "So continue doing Sankirtan, and you'll be victorious."
Hare Lal.
So that's the instruction there. And then after, I felt very bewildered, but devotees came up to me and said, "Congratulations, Bhakta Jeff. You just got a personal instruction from Srila Prabhupada." So I guess that's for everybody.
And he's been doing it ever since. Something like that, very similar, happened to me. And I thought, oh, I'll be very smart. I'll ask the question. And I asked something about Radharani. And Prabhupada looked at me, "Who are you to ask about Radharani?" And I felt really small. "Who are you?" You know, Bhakta J. So I didn't get a personal instruction then at all. Maybe it was, "Don't ask stupid things about Radharani when you're just a bhakta." But, so the idea, if we use our senses in the meditation, we use the senses. Now, these same senses can be traps of illusion. These senses are like for the fish, the sense of taste is so strong. When it sees that worm, it loves worms. "Oh, yum, yum, I want to eat that worm." "What's that hook sticking on the worm? Oh, that, forget that hook. You love worms, the sting of the worm." Oh, it jumps, and the hook gets the fish, and he's brought back to the fisherman. "Oh, look at the big filthy I got, big fish." And he cries out, the fish is killed because of a strong sense of a taste. The hunter, how does he get the deer? He plays on his flute. Do, 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 do. And the deer comes out, "Oh, I love music." And no sooner does the deer get enchanted by music, the hunter takes out the arrow and choke, kills the deer. Killed by hearing. Too much attached to hearing. The fly is very attracted by the beautiful candlelight. It flies into the candle, burnt to death. Now they have ultraviolet lights, burn up the insects at some of the outdoor places. So this sense of seeing can also trap us. The sense of taste, hearing, seeing, what other sense we have, smell. The bee goes into the lotus in the daytime, smelling the honey, but forgets he's busy eating the honey. At night, the lotus closes and it suffocates and kills the little bee. all that toward the finished by the sense of smell. Elephant, who can catch an elephant? Elephant is so big and powerful, but this elephant, the tusker, he wants to enjoy the female. So they catch a female and they dig a pit in front and cover it with a bamboo and some grass. It looks just like the ground. And then they have the female. She calls out and tusker says, "Oh, what a beautiful young lady waiting for me." And he runs towards her and falls into the pit and he's captured by the trappers. Yes, sir?
The fish, he sees the hook, but he's so lusty for that worm that he goes for the worm anyway, despite the fact that he actually sees the hook there. But in the case of the elephant, does the elephant know that that's not real solid ground? Or, I mean, does the Shastra say anything one way or the other? Or is he actually fooled, or does he actually even know that that's not solid ground, but he's so lusty?
It doesn't say that he knows.
Doesn't say anything one way or the other. Okay.
So, the same senses can be traps of illusion, or the same senses can be our gateways to liberation. So we teach the people how to use their senses in devotional service of the Lord. Now, the senses themselves, if they're used properly, they can give us liberation. If we are controlled by our senses, they can draw us into the bad karma, repetition of birth and death, illusion. So, the bhakti yoga is easier to perform for people with senses. I think everyone here has senses. It's hard for the embodied souls to practice the impersonal yogas. It's easier to practice the personal yoga. So, what we do is we recommend you chant, you hear, you read. All this uses the eyes, the ears, and the mind. And you taste Krishna prasad, you smell the offerings of the Lord. And all your senses, you taste the prasad. Use your senses in Krishna service. By doing that, it's something very pleasing. It's not difficult. It's not that incense or flowers don't smell nice. It's not that the deities don't look beautiful. It's not that the prasad doesn't taste very nice. So by using our senses in this way, we can easily achieve liberation because we're connecting ourselves, the soul, with the Supreme Lord Purushottam through his devotional service. Otherwise, the same senses can be traps, trap us into illusion. So, on this holy month, I'd like to repeat. Yesterday was the Ekadasi. Today's the Dwadasi. Today's a very good day for feasting. So please have your love feasts. And those who are the sponsors and others, I think the name was read out before. I would also like to give you a chance to ask any question. If there are any questions, please ask. In the meantime, while you're just think if you have a question, we'll chant one mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. How do you get that?
I was just gonna.
You have a question, okay?
Yeah, I was gonna ask. As far as like attaining Krishna consciousness, it's a very diligent process of constant meditation and reading the sastras, correct, in order to be in a transcendental mind frame. I'm asking. like to attain, you know, that transcendental consciousness, so you're not in the lower material energy.
Anyway.
Did you hear me? Or okay, sorry. Okay, so more of a question. To attain a transcendental consciousness quite frequently, like, I mean, on a daily basis, you know, on an hour to, you know, every day to constantly, the process for that is bhakti yoga, is it? Or also studying the scriptures, and I'm just asking in general, like, any other things you can throw in there?
Studying the scriptures as such is part of the bhakti yoga process.
Yeah.
And the idea is, with experience under the guidance of a bona fide guru,
yeah,
you can stay all the time in transcendental consciousness. The problem with these other meditations, say while you're meditating, you may be for some time in a very peaceful, a good consciousness, maybe even a transcendental. But as soon as you stop meditating, you eat, you go and work or something, you're back in the material situation. I've had devotees say, when they come to this temple, they feel very spiritual. But when they go back to their workplace, they're back into the material rat race. Because they haven't learned how to render devotional service. The idea is that everything you do should be as a devotion. If you're reading, that's something direct. And you can say that I'm reading to know more about Krishna. So that's my devotional service. You may also, for instance, like we said, eating. So I think everybody has to eat, otherwise we die. So if we cook our food and offer to Krishna, learn how to do that, well, what we eat will always be a devotional service. I was thinking of some other example. But say you have a material job. Say you're working outside as an accountant or engineer or something. So it's not that you're directly using your education as a service to Krishna. But you're kind of selling yourself to your boss that you'll work 8 hours a day and they'll pay you so much a month. And you can have a business arrangement. There's no love between the boss and you, and there's no love. If they stop paying you, you don't work for them. So it's a business deal. But with the money you gain, you can, for instance, like last night in Irvine, we had a house program. It was one of the children's birthday today. So yesterday night, they had a house program. Nirantar Prabhu was there, I was there. And so we gave a class. There was maybe 60 or 70 people there. And so those grihasthas, to feed all those people, to have such a program, they had to obviously send something from their hard-earned money. So in this way, they used their income as a source of doing some devotion in bringing people together, in having them hear a class about Krishna, in feeding them Krishna Prasadam. So Prabhupada said this way, grihasthas, or householders, they can, by using their house in this way, they can be rendering devotional service. So this is how to purify money which is earned just for unrelated activities. Now, some people come here on the like I was seeing here the what's his name? I guess he doesn't want me to say anything, but say some of our grihasthas here. They come on the weekend and they do their arti at 4:30. They do the arti for the deities. Now they have their ordinary jobs. They work outside. But they come here and they do their service. They can only do it once in a week. But this way they're also doing service here in the temple. And then they have deities in their house. So their house is considered as a temple. And in various ways, they use their income for Krishna service, and also to maintain themselves. So in this way, though, you can actually do all day long. Everything you do, you can think that I'm doing this for Krishna. It's connected in this way. So, and when you're reading the scripture, that's a direct. Any other question? Thank you, Dan. Keith.
My question was, I don't currently have any cows, but I was wondering if mentally meditating, like while chanting on offering the cows love and like maybe like, you know, adorning them with flowers in the meditation would be a good visualization for this month.
When I was a new devotee, I was being picked up by Bhumavati Das. And I saw some cows and I said, "Should we stop and get some of that cow dung? Because the cow dung is pure." He said, "Well, we can go back to temple, we'll see about that." So he discouraged me a little bit. But now he's Bhumavati Maharaj and he said, "Well, if I have to do over, I'll let you get the cow dung." Now, we consider that the cow and the products of the cow are pure, and that the cow products like the milk, the ghee, the yogurt, the cow dung and the cow urine, all these are pure. Somehow the cow has four stomachs, and so it goes through all kinds of refinery process. So other animals don't have four stomachs, we have one. And someone can be like a great priest, but his excrement would not be considered holy. I'm sorry. But the cow is considered pure. But it's not considered like a deity that we worship the cow like we worship Krishna. He's not God. The cow is dear to Krishna. The cow should be protected. There are cows in the spiritual world called Suradis. We can think of the Suradi cows, which are directly connected to Krishna. Or we can read the pastime of Krishna taking care of the cows. But just in general, to worship a cow, it's better to worship Krishna. If you worship Krishna with the cow, or if you can be on some farm and worship Krishna, protect the cows as a service to Krishna. The milk of the cow is said to be give a kind of finer intelligence by which you can understand Krishna easier. Now, our vegan friends, they say, "Well, the cow is mistreated, so we shouldn't eat the cow milk." and kind of patronize an industry which is mistreating the cows. It's true that the cows are mistreated. My answer to that, of course, is that we take the milk and we offer to Krishna. So those cows that have the milk products offered to Krishna, they're blessed. And next time they can go back to Godhead or they can take birth as a human being. So it's to their benefit. So if we didn't offer the milk to Krishna, those cows wouldn't benefit. So we continue to offer the items to Krishna, and the cows continue to benefit. Eventually, just like we have organic vegetables, organic milk, I would hope that we would have ahimsa milk. We would have milk that the cows are not sold for slaughter. That the cows, after they give their milk, they're kept or they let them die in old age. This is the only treatment that goes on to the cows now, is after they are useful to it, they're slaughtered. And so that Lord Chaitanya, he was saying to the Chandikazi, like, yes, the old mother and father, they become invalid, they become useless, Alzheimer's, or different diseases. Does that mean you're going to kill them off? Is it not that you should kill? Similarly, the cow should not be killed just because it stops getting milk. Actually, the cow only lives for a year or two after getting milk. It lives as long as it gets milk. After stopping milk, it doesn't live long. So, in India, two of the states, the constitution, the way it's written, they said, well, cow slaughter or not is a state issue. It's not a federal issue. And that was regretted by many personalities, like Gandhiji and Vinod Bhavani and others. But so two states allow the cow slaughter. All the other states have abandoned it. So Kerala and West Bengal, they allow. I heard. I may be wrong, but that's what I heard. So this is unfortunate. Otherwise, the cow is not allowed to be slaughtered by in other states. But the cow itself, we want to protect. So he has some farm. I don't know if LA has a farm attached to it. I don't think so.